He's fed up. He's had enough of this nonsense. There's nothing going on here.
Buccaneers fans, training camp is on the stage of Tampa Bay Sports. He's all fired up. Ira was up early.
I was one of the first people here.
Yeah.
Yes, I was.
The sage had his coffee and was raring to go. Ira, of course, when you get behind your wheel of your vehicle, don't worry, drive Curry, because you're driving a 2020 Cherry Red Ford Escape. Make no payments all summer. That's what they got going on right now at Build Curry Ford. In addition, Build Curry Ford is matching any offer you get. Just that simple, Ira. They're exceeding it by $100. So you know what? Cut that ad out or bring a screenshot into the dealership a mile north of Raymond James Stadium, and they're going to beat any advertised price by $100. That's the no-worry promise on top of their incredible service. This is the biggest, baddest dealership in the Tampa Bay area by far. They put the money in. It's gigantic. 100 loaner vehicles, tons of inventory. BillCurryFord.com. It's a new place a mile north of the stadium on Dale Mabry Highway, but they've been here 65.
You're not going to recognize the place, Steve.
That's what I meant by new, Ira. 65 years of tradition, family-owned. It still means something. GM Sean Sullivan also has the Ira Kaufman discount available for everyone. Speak up, just like matching a price.
Every other company says, we'll match the price. He goes it a step further.
Mm-hmm.
We'll give you $100 under that.
And he'll give you more than that for saying, Ira Kaufman sent me. Sean, what do you got for me? BillCurryFord.com. Sage, all across the state, Florida's Elite Restoration is now helping people. Great Tampa local company, but they have marched east. So if you're in Orlando and you got mold, fire damage, storm damage, wind damage, whatever it is, flooding, call Florida's Elite Restoration 24-7. They'll get to you 24-7. Evaluate what's going on. Don't call your insurance company first so you don't get ripped off. They're fighting corruption from Newport Richey to downtown Orlando and east all the way out there to the East Coast. Florida's Elite Restoration.com. Owner Josh Martin has $500 for everybody who calls up and needs an evaluation, an estimate. Mention Ira, mention JoeBucksFan.com. If you use their services, if you need an agreement after that to let them battle your insurance company for your money.
Use it towards a deductible, right?
Exactly. Or use it just cash back if you're paying them straight out of your pocket to do some restoration. They do repairs. They're a one-stop shop as well. Not many are. Florida's Elite Restoration.com. All right. So Lee's patrolling training camp. I've been patrolling training camp. Ira, you're out there day one.
I've been having a donut. Yeah. All right. By the way, no food out there. Zilch. I'm looking for a banana, Steve. Can't get it.
All right. Well, we'll bring you some bananas, Ira. But before we get into camp, and, you know, Randy Gregory didn't show up. Okay, big surprise. Who cares? He's pretty much done at this point. But we'll get to him, Sage. A couple of things I wanted to run past you from the interviews today. You know, Mike Evans, he knows the media. He knows what he's saying and when he's saying it. He went out there, Lee, Ira, he said that he can already tell that the team is better. And he said they're going to be better this year, and he can feel it already in training camp, OTAs, spring was different. What do you make of that?
Well, I think the first thing you'd focus on is Mayfield with another year's experience. I don't know how different Cone's system's going to be from Canales, but he's now comfortable throwing the ball to Evans and Godwin. Wasn't the case a year ago. We didn't even know that he was going to be the quarterback, unless you listened to Joe Bucks fan when I declared there is no competition. It's going to be Mayfield.
Yep, you reached out to your sources.
And the Bucks were not happy with me doing that.
Didn't they call you up and scold you?
I got scolded. Why would you do that? Why do you got the timing? Let us make the call. No. When I find out, I say it. So
write it or read it.
Right. Evans looks fantastic, Steve. He's raring to go.
Yeah.
You know, you think he'd be a little jaded. I got to go to another training camp. He's like a kid in a candy store. I thought one of his great answers was about McMillan, and his quote was very, very polished.
Mm.
Polished. I think that's a word we're going to use a lot with Jared McMillan.
Jalen,
Lee, you've been talking on a lot of the previous podcasts about the opportunity that McMillan's going to have to grab that third spot. I think it's wide open.
I agree.
You know, Palmer's got a year of experience,
and
McMillan doesn't. But Mike Evans, he was asked about the 10 straight years of 1,000-yard seasons, which would tie Jerry Rice's record, 10 consecutive seasons.
If he gets to 11, he ties
them
up.
You know, most guys would say, I don't think about things like that. Mike Evans knows every record that he's approaching. He's aware of it. And it drives him. And I think it's fantastic.
It's very interesting that Mike Evans said he could tell the team is better already. And this is going to get people who follow college football, when I say this, it's going to get them so pumped. I was talking to Trey Palmer after practice. I asked him about the new offense. And you can kind of tell a little bit. I mean, we didn't see a whole lot. It's still underwear football. But you could tell it's not centered so much on the run as Canales was. Not saying they don't run, but it's not the focal point. And Godwin looks dynamite already. And maybe he's happy because he's turned loose back to slot.
And healthier.
And healthier, yes. So, you know, I was talking to Palmer about Cohen's offense. And he said, it really reminds me of when I was at LSU. Now, Palmer was at LSU his freshman year when they won the national championship. They had a lights-out offense. Joe Burrow, Jefferson, you name it. Jamar Chase.
Jamar Chase, yeah.
Dynamite offense. And when he said, and he smiled, he goes, it really reminds me of the offense we had at LSU. I'm like, whoa.
Steve, along those lines of what Lee's talking about, my biggest takeaway on opening day, besides the fact there weren't any bananas, my biggest takeaway, Steve, and I don't know if you guys caught this. I asked a question about Liam Cohn. Somebody else asked him about Liam Cohn. And the common responses were, we're going to use a lot of motion.
Yeah.
We're going to use a lot of motion. And I think it was Evans that said, teams aren't going to know what we're going to do by the way we line up. In other words, it's going to be fluid. It's going to look like other teams where the Bucs have been kind of stuck in the past. Everybody uses motion now, and I think it's really going to help.
And then Stat Geeks
because Bowles' defense is very much about the skies and guile.
Yeah, yeah.
And the Buck offense wasn't like
never
that.
Never was, no. What's interesting, what Evans just said there, what's interesting to me about that is, you think about this, Evans said, essentially he said the offense was predictable in the sense that they don't run much motion.
Without saying it, he said.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, think about what he's done production-wise if teams knew what he was doing.
Or where he's going to line up.
Exactly. If they don't know, and he's getting production when they do know, what's he going to do when they don't know? We should be looking at a, what, 1,200, 1,300-yard season from him?
Couple things, Sage. First, Cohen was on something called the Sick Podcast last week.
That's sick.
There you go. And he made it very clear he doesn't see it as a battle for the number three receiver. He said, yeah, somebody will go out there as a number three, but he said that Palmer and McMillan are going to, quote, play a ton, and that they do different things and they're both good, and that even further goes to the unknown of what's going out there, especially you don't even know the combinations. I'll agree with Lee. I thought Godwin looked phenomenal today, like midseason form, sharp, quick, rookie-ish kind of quick.
Yeah.
You know, we'll see if it lasts. He stayed almost longer than anybody catching balls.
He brought a lot of energy to the field today.
A lot of energy, a lot of juice for sure. You know, Lee and I talked to Cohen after practice. Got a little one-on-one time with him.
You were busy today.
One-on-two.
And I noticed, and I said this to Cohen.
Does he read Joe Buck's fan? Does he know who the hell you guys are?
That's not my first question. I don't care if he reads or not. Cohen is one of 15 new offensive coordinators in the NFL
almost
this year.
Almost half the league.
Half the league. Iron is math regents.
Here we go.
So I said to Cohen, I said, look, you know, I watched you a lot today. There's not even a hint in Cohen of nerves, of any movement that even shows that he is maybe hesitating. Everything he does looks fluid. All his interviews, his talking, he looks like a polished offensive coordinator. And, you know, we can't talk about his response because it was off the record, but you know, I think this guy comes in incredibly seasoned, ready to hit the ground running. And yes, he called plays in college and worked with Sean McVay.
He's confident,
but seems extraordinarily competent. I go back to a quote that Jason Light said a long time ago about Cohen. He said, quote, he's born to coach, and he just feels like that guy.
I asked Sean McVay about it, about him, and that was where, Steve? At the owners' meetings?
The owners' meetings.
Yeah, at the owners' meetings. In between bites of the egg roll. And Steve was right near me when I talked to him. He knows me more than I thought he should. He knows me by name.
Well, he was with the Bucks, right? With Chucky?
Yeah, yeah.
Of course he would know.
I mean, it was a while ago. But anyway, I did ask him about Cohn. What are the Bucks getting? And very complimentary. Mm-hmm. Very complimentary. I think he missed them last year when Cohn was in Kentucky.
Well, as Steve points out regularly, and he's not wrong, McVay hired him twice.
What does that tell you?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sage, Cohn also said that he was asked about the center position, and he made it very clear that there's a competition going on between Hainsey and Barton. Now, a lot of fans saw Hainsey running with the number ones today.
Yeah,
now,
sir.
It might be an ego thing. Maybe they're trying to keep the rookie in check.
Well, opening day. You go with the incumbent. You know,
but,
I understand it.
Cohen said on this podcast, he said Graham will have to minimize just kind of the snafus in order for him to be able to win that job. That tells me they saw him make some mistakes in the spring that maybe they didn't want him to make. And he said Hainsey has to continue to play at a consistent high level to win the job. You know, everybody makes a big deal about Barton and his smarts, but Hainsey's got a finance degree from Notre Dame, so I don't know if there's much difference there, you know? I don't know. What do you think's going on there?
I wouldn't read too much into Hainsey on day one, taking most of the snaps with the first unit. I don't think that means anything. I think they want Barton to win that center job, Lee. Otherwise, they wouldn't have drafted him in the first round. They could have traded back, get an extra pick. You know, Light would have loved to do that if he wasn't that high about a guy. And he's high on Barton, and so is Bowles. I think he's going to ingratiate himself with the offensive line coaches. I think midway through camp, I think Barton's going to get the job. Hainsey's not going to go away, and I don't have any problem with it being called an open competition. That's the way it should be.
The Bucs have all but said that. When they were talking in the past about Barton, they said, well, if he starts at center or something to that effect. So, and I think Steve picked up on it, too. That's why whenever I write about Graham Barton, I refer to him as Bucs center in parentheses, question mark, because no one's anointed him yet.
Lee, is it fair to say a first-round pick offensive lineman that joins a team that was the worst running team in football for the past, each of the past 2 years, and that guy doesn't start either at center or left guard? That's a problem. That's a disappointment.
It's a disappointment. I don't know if it's a problem. If they, I'll just say this. To be fair, I think they're easing Barton in. I don't think they want to overwhelm him. And I understand that.
I think that's fair.
And like you said, until proven otherwise, it's smart to keep Hainsey to start. You know, not because I like him or I'm anti-Barton, but just football-wise, you bring a new guy in, if he's not up to the level of the guy you want to replace, what do you replace him for? I mean, quarterback, you brought him in basically to help out Mayfield and, of course, the run game. And if Mayfield goes down, God help us if Trask is the backup, because just based on today, Wolford was much better. Trask had an awful day. Awful.
Yeah, Wolford just looked sharp, and Trask, you know, fumbled snap.
Did he look sharp because Trask was so bad, or he looked sharp?
I don't know. Both. Both. You know, and it's day one of underwear football training camp,
yeah,
but
yeah.
It did stand out. Unfortunately, Lee and I got caught up in conversation. I forgot to ask Cohen if he feels there's competition for the number two quarterback, but I'll get there.
I'll get there. Ask Bowles about Malk, and were there any thoughts about moving him to left guard?
Shut you down, Ira.
Did he say anything definitive, though, Steve?
He said we're not doing that. No plans.
At this time?
No plans of that. The Buccaneers, they signed Randy Gregory because they were desperate for edge rush help.
And Lee and I chewed you out because you were talking too much about Randy Gregory.
Exactly. So they thought, okay, we'll spend $3 million on this guy. Denver had spent a ton of money on him, and maybe he can give us something. We need a little something because we're hurting out there.
We don't know about Braswell.
And Shaq's gone. We don't know, and our edge rush isn't very good, even though we get pressures and sacks. Okay, so in theory, that desire hasn't faded away just because Randy Gregory hasn't showed up and is obviously not going to be on the team. So the Bucs are going to get a few million in his cap room back, from what I understand. And so my question to you is twofold. One, are they going to use that and go get somebody? Because there are still some guys out there. Emmanuel Agba, there's still Ngakoue out there. Those guys are going to cost more, but they're also a lot more established. And the third part is Shaq Barrett. So Shaq retired from Miami after, you know, going to OTAs there, but I watched him do an interview in Miami, and he said that he was not going to be moving to Miami. He was going to be commuting back to Tampa because he didn't want to move his family, and they talked about it. And on his days off, he was going to go back to Tampa, and he probably did that during OTAs and just decided, you know what, this is too much. I'm a family guy. We know about his tragedy. So now he retired. The Bucs have an opening. Do they find a way to call Shaq and say, Shaq, would you be motivated to play? You don't need much training camp. We'll give you a veteran minimum and some incentives for sacks. And come on back, and you can mentor Braswell. You know the defense. Yaya said you were his great mentor. Does that happen? Does that phone call get made, or they let Shaq
I think it's highly unlikely. I think that ship sailed with Shaq Barrett.
Mm.
God bless him. He had some wonderful years as a Buccaneer. Won a Super Bowl with them. First year here was spectacular. one of the greatest seasons by a Buck pass rusher in franchise history, if not the greatest. But he's not the same player, Lee.
No.
He's not. Now, Steve said pay him a minimum, which, I, you know, that could be a factor there. I would rather go with a younger player where the arrow's going up. Shaq's leveled off the last couple of years. I think it's unlikely that they reach out to him.
Really? I thought they would just do some due diligence and if he wants to come in. But it's interesting you say the ship has sailed, meaning they don't think he can reestablish himself as a starting outside linebacker or as an impact player. Now, there's two or three commenters on Joe Buck's fan. They have an axe to grind about this guy only because they know that I wanted the Bucks to get him. That's the only reason I could think of why you wouldn't want a double-digit sack guy. Established every year, double-digit sacks.
Reddick?
He's still out there. I mean, yeah, the Jets traded for him. He's not in camp. And, you know, maybe he didn't want to go to the Jets. Maybe he doesn't want to play for the Jets.
Could he be a troublemaker? Could he be?
Has he been? There's no evidence he has been. And people are like, oh, he's not showing up. Well, okay. He's basically saying, you want me to play for the Jets? I'll play for you. But you got to redo my contract. And the Jets apparently don't want that. Have you ever heard of a player that doesn't like to play for Todd Bowles?
No.
Yeah, I mean, they bring veterans in, and the veterans say the reason they're here is Todd Bowles.
Randy Gregory, he doesn't want to play for Todd Bowles.
Well, I don't think Gregory wants to play, period. But, yeah, that should never happen.
Tom Brady?
But you know, there's other guys out there that are holding out. Why not explore that? I just think it's borderline irresponsible to bank on a rookie with 7.5 sacks being the guy.
Well, Steve, to answer your question, I don't think Shaq Barrett necessarily answer, but to your bigger point, should they be out there looking? Yes, they should.
Well, I look at it this way with Shaq Barrett. Quick question for you. Do you think Shaq Barrett this season would be better than Randy Gregory this season, assuming Gregory had shown up?
Yes.
Okay, so that's why I think make the call. See if Miami would release him, you know, maybe let go of his rights or they come up with some sort of performance deal where they release his rights, but if Shaq gets 6 sacks, the Bucks almost 7th round pick or something like that. Something to think about. I don't rule it out. I'm curious to see how that goes. Ira, I never heard this before. You were there with Todd Bowles. Lee and I were assaulting players by the locker room entrance.
You want to tell the Kate Otten story? I think it's cool.
Well, it's kind of funny. So it's just kind of silly. But Lee saw me coming over. Hadn't seen him in the morning. And he yells to me, hey, dude, what's going on, man?
And there's Kate Otten.
Kate Otten, just the angle of the shout or whatever, Kate Otten thought Lee was talking to him. And Otten's like, hey, dude, back at you, man. It was funny. It was just funny. You'd have to see it. All right.
So about Todd Bowles.
Todd Bowles says today, practice day one, Ira. I never heard anything like this before. He basically said he's concerned that KJ Britt is going to start a fight and there's going to be some sort of melee out there and they got to watch that.
I think it's a positive.
Yeah.
What are you worried about?
I'm not worried.
He's a warrior.
I never heard a coach say, I think a fight's coming.
Oh,
you know, with this guy.
I think you might see it because you're going to the scrimmages, you know, against the other teams, training camp, and that's when those things break out, right?
Mm-hmm.
Usually. I see it only as a positive with Britt. And by the way, speaking of Britt, I think he's got a chance to be a really good player. Against the run, I'm high on Britt.
Yeah, I am too. what's funny about Bowles' comment about Britt, this is underwear football. They can't touch each other.
Yeah.
but he showed me enough at the end of last season.
Against the Lions.
He played well in the playoffs, Britt.
Yeah.
He played well.
I mean, I get the feeling that Britt may be really further asserting himself now that Devin White's gone.
I wouldn't call him a leader of the defense,
That's
though.
What Bowles keeps calling him.
I don't get
that. He called him our unquestioned leader.
Over Lavani?
2 weeks ago. That's what Bowles said. I can read you the quote.
That's kind of a reach.
It may be, you know, in the sense that if David is not actively trying to lead all over the place, then I guess the day-to-day leader is probably Britt, and Levante is the, hey, when he talks, everybody listens kind of leader. But that's what Bowles said.
Quick question for you boys. You may not like it.
Uh-oh.
Did
I see that the player survey, players, not media, top 100 players on voting by their peers, did I see they ranked Levante David 99? Did I see that?
Yeah, yes. I looked at that as a positive.
Oh, you looked at that as a positive.
He was unranked last year.
Yeah, because most of the time people overlook him.
Well, I guess my question to you is this. If he's unranked and then he's 99, why'd you say he's a surefire Hall of Famer? He's supposed to be still playing at a top level, and yet they give him a number 99 designation.
Well, first off, the NFL players poll, you know, they do it every year, NFL Network. It's a complete and utter joke. Not every player votes. Only a handful of guys vote. They only vote for 10 players. They don't vote for 100. You know,
can they vote for their teammates? Can they vote for their teammates?
Yes. Well, I saw one guy's vote this. You know, they vote the day after the season's over with. You know, when they have their clean out your locker day, that's when they vote. Some guy, I saw the ballot. They didn't out the guy, but I saw it on social media. Voted for Aaron Rodgers, who played for four plays. You know, that's kind of nonsense you're dealing with.
Don't they only vote for, like, the top, they put 20 names down, and then they compile the whole thing?
I thought it was 10.
Yeah, the NFL Network this year, and NFL.com, I think in an effort to legitimize what they're doing and to make fans understand, to answer these questions, they put together a feature on how this top 100 is done. They released a few ballots. Every player picks the top 20 players in order.
They didn't put the names on the ballots, right?
But you saw who the votes were.
You saw who the votes were.
Baker Mayfield got a top 20 vote from
somebody. I'm saying they only put 20 names down, right?
Mayfield got a 20 vote, but they did a whole feature on how does it actually work, and it was kind of interesting. It's flawed because there's only like 700 players who vote, so you know that's not. They try to get every starter, but they don't, and obviously there's more important than starters. But I get you, Ira. 99. David's been higher before. He's been in the top 40s. But the problem is weighting positions, right? So anybody would say, well, a quarterback's more important than your inside linebacker. So it's really where you are among inside linebackers. We don't have the whole list
yet to see
where he is.
You're right. Let me throw one thing out at you about an overarching thing about the first day of camp and about this team in particular. Maybe I'm making too much out of this. Maybe. But, Lee, you look around this league. And you just mentioned it. This guy's a holdout. This guy's coming back. Cousins coming back from a major injury. New coaches.
Coordinators
all over. New coordinators. New quarterbacks. This team has basically no distractions. There's nothing going on here. You're going to talk about Tristan Wirfs in a minute, Steve. I know you are. Buck fans have nothing to worry about with Tristan Wirfs. No. He's going to play. He's going to be the left tackle for the 2024 Bucks. When your biggest distraction is six questions about Randy Gregory, you're having a hell of a training camp, Steven.
Ira, it's so interesting you bring this up because on the way over here from One Buck, we're recording from the Bill Curry Ford headquarters. And
the podcast room, too.
The podcast room. As I was driving over here, I was listening to NFL radio. They were going to commercial. But as they go to commercial, they usually have like an update. And they had an interview or some sound bites from Mike McDaniel, coach of the Dolphins. They asked him about Tua's contract. And he said this, I know this is a big thing for you. His reaction was almost word for word what my old high school coach used to say. Guy played for Al Davis, Madden, and Tom Landry, etc. They asked him if Tua's contract is a distraction. And he said, distractions are distractions if you let them be.
That's right. There's a good vibe in this camp is what I'm trying to say.
Yeah. There is. You're right. There's not like acrimony or your starting left tackle who's going to play hasn't signed yet. That's the biggest problem.
And he's under contract.
Yeah.
And he's under contract.
That's not much of a problem. Here's what I saw today, speaking of offensive line. And most people think this is nothing. This is a throwaway. I think this is a big deal. We all know we hate penalties. We hate penalties on offense. We hate penalties for not knowing the friggin' snap count. Drives me nuts. Drives coaches nuts. Drives fans nuts. Well, Brandon Walton, on a pass play, jumped off sides. He must have thought it was on two. It was on three. Hypothetical. I'm just setting it up. And so he jumps back to get ready to block. Ball wasn't snapped yet. He immediately was pulled off the field. Get out of here. Get out the field. They brought someone else in.
Zero tolerance.
Thank you. There is no tolerance for mental mistakes, at least on the offensive line. I loved that.
Sage, I got to let fans know, Vita Vea had his weight loss, and he looks like he's kept lean. You know, nothing's changed in the last 6 weeks or so, he's putting it to shame.
How's his legs look? Legs are still stout?
Well, I didn't stare that closely, Ira, but he is a big guy. But he looks lean. We'll see what happens with his quickness out there. But, you know, Todd Bowles posted a video. The Bucks shared his opening speech to the team last night on YouTube, about 6 minutes. It was edited to that. And he sort of spoke in there about how Vea's faster. He joked a little bit, but how Vea's not the slowest guy on the team anymore. And they're expecting a different player. We're going to see how that shows up. But I wanted to let fans know that Vea still looks great in the way that fans hope would continue to training camp. And here we are. Ira, this McMillan, okay, he's a smaller guy, smaller receiver.
He's not a speedster. Not like Palmer. Not like Palmer.
Oh, Palmer's got wheels.
Yeah.
You can see his good hands. Just he caught some balls at some tough angles today. But I worry about that size. He's no Chris Godwin, in my opinion, as far as size and build and all that. I don't know. That's just me. That's my thought. But do you think there's a place for him? How do you see it?
Take the worst case scenario where he gets off to a slow start and he's struggling to adjust to the pro game. It's not going to wreck the Bucs season. That by itself is not going to wreck the Bucs season.
Yeah, it shouldn't, unless there's other injuries.
You know, they got by with Palmer last year. And I dare say, Lee, and I don't want you to drop that mic over there, they damn sure better run the ball better. I didn't say more often. I said better.
That's the key, better.
That's the key, better. And Steve, that leads me to, and I think this is coming right from Bowles. Bowles is fed up with this running game. He's fed up. He's had enough of this nonsense.
More or less than Randy Gregory?
He's tired of the 3 yards up the middle. The 2 yards. He's tired of it. And I think he was completely frazzled by the end of last season with the Rashad White up the middle for 2 yards. I think that got to him every time he's looking up at second and eight. I mean, why put yourself behind the eight ball like that? Cohn has to fix that.
I'm glad you brought that up. The one thing on the record that Steve and I spoke with Cohn about was, yards after contact. How can you fix that? Now, I posed that question last year to Canales.
You mean as a back? As a running back?
As a coach, how do you coach better yards after contact?
Yeah, how do you resolve that? And I asked Canales the very same question last year in training camp, and he said, run it more. That was his answer.
Well, that didn't work.
Clearly. So I asked Cohn, how do you change that? In a nutshell, he just said there's really no magic bullet theory. What he did say is every drill that they're doing with running backs, every drill has an element involved with getting yards after contact. That is a key focus. He said that is an absolute focus of their running backs this year, coming down from Bowles to him to everybody on the team.
So after you get hit,
find a way to get some more yards. Find a way to advance. If it's a half yard, okay. If it's 5 yards, great. But every drill they do, part of that drill is to find a way to get yards after contact.
White flunked that grade last year. Flunked it.
A couple things, Ira, that I got to say.
Unless he was catching the ball.
Well, you know, yes. I saw just in practice today, I didn't see him making too many plays today, but son of a gun, he caught a ball in the left flat, made the guy miss
already.
And I'm like, why can't you do that in a running game?
I got to be a little fair to Rashad White. I think this goes to the frustration of Todd Bowles. He watched White run for 4.7 yards a carry in the playoffs last year through two playoff games.
He did.
Now, that's great running, especially in the postseason.
I think so, you could even go back to the last 6 or 7 weeks were improvement.
So, and frankly, I'm going to say, I think that's why Rashad White is still the number one running back on this team. If he had run for 3.2 yards in the playoffs and just, you know, showed that, hey, the long season wore on him and he could never break out of it. And, you know, yes, he had some better games late, but that playoff performance gives him a lot of hope. However, Cohn on the Sick podcast, Ira, he said something very, very telling and really mind-blowing. Very candid guy.
I love the way you dissect some of these statements,
well,
Steve.
Well, listen to this. I've never heard this before in this context. So Rashad White, I added it up, Sage, 435 career carries. That's a big sample size. A lot of guys feel that they get washed up once they hit 1,000 carries. So he's almost halfway there. And Cohn said, we challenge White when we got here. We challenge him to trust and to take the ball and to explode through the hole. And whatever happens, happens. Like, you saw a difference. And I saw him every day try to do what we're asking. That's going to help. Blah, blah, blah. I hope his talent takes over once he trusts the track and trusts the run and understands the run and what we're trying to get done. They're basically trying to get the guy, run hard and worry about the rest later. But it's in his third year. What running back fixes that? They've been trying to tell him that last year.
You know, here's
it's strange.
Lee, besides the 3.6 or 3.7 average that he's had the first 2 years, I think 1 year was 3.7, last year was 3.6 or whatever. Here's another thing that I have a problem with the running game. They never break 10 and 20-yard runs. They don't break them.
Not very often.
And other teams do, Lee. Mm-hmm. Other teams do. Jamar Gibbs, you look around, hey, there's a 20-yard run.
Yeah.
Now, they got a very good line. They do. Detroit has a very good offense.
And Gibbs was drafted, top 10? So.
Steve, 400 and something. I wonder how many 20-yard runs Rashad White has. He might have about four.
That was my big problem with Ronald Jones.
You got to bust a few runs, Steve. You got to bust a few.
Here's some trivia for you, Ira. How many touchdowns did Ronald Jones make outside the 10-yard line? Like 10 yards or more. How many touchdowns?
Either rushing or receiving?
No, rushing, period. How many 10-plus yard touchdown runs has he had? Or did he have?
Two.
Uno. And that was like, what, 98 yards?
He had plenty of carries.
Yeah. If the ball wasn't outside the 10, they were not going to score on the ground. That's why I love Fournette doing that. And that's why I wasn't anti-guy who went to Vanderbilt in Illinois.
Vaughn?
Sneak Vaughn. Sneak Vaughn, one of his very first carries, the Bucks hit a home run, like a 22-yard
run. Right down the sideline.
Yeah.
Right down the sideline. Steven, it also screws him up in the red zone.
Sage,
when
Rashad,
you can't run the ball. Rashad, it hurts.
Yeah. Rashad White had three runs last year of 20-plus yards.
How many carries?
20 yards or more. He had 272 carries. But there's 30-something guys in the NFL had more than that. And they're not all starters.
And they didn't all have more carries than him.
And they all had most of them had nowhere near that number of carries, because White, with those carries, Sage, that ranked tied for second in the NFL. So
second, you know, in carries.
Not good enough. And they were saying Derrick Henry, who had only 5 runs of 20 yards or more last year, was kind of washed up. He's not busting runs anymore. Rashad White, you know.
Yeah.
So they got to fix it. Cohen also talked about how he kind of bragged about how when he was at Kentucky calling plays in 2021, they led the nation in runs of 4 yards or more.
4 yards?
Runs of 4 yards or more. He said they led college football, and he said that they were like third in rushing, I think on rushing first down, something like that. So, you know, he's confident, believes he knows what to do, but I think the leash is kind of short for Rashad White.
I'm glad he said that. Lee, if Rashad White averages less than 3.9 yards a carry this season, is there any way he could be the primary back next year? Any chance if a third year goes by and he doesn't show marked improvement?
A decent chance. He's that damn good in the passing game.
I said as the primary back. I didn't say as a situational back.
I agree. That's what I'm saying. He is so dangerous in the passing game, I don't know how you can pull him off the field, because otherwise you're tipping pitches. If he can't run and he's no longer the primary back, the only time he goes on the field, the defense knows right away. They're going to throw the ball.
Well, third down back, they're probably going to third down, they're probably going to throw the ball.
Well,
third
it's
down.
A passing situation, okay, but if it's like, you know.
Sage, anything else that you saw at camp today? Crowd was good?
Not particularly.
No?
I didn't think the crowd's enthusiasm was that strong.
Well, there were two times the crowd got a great reaction.
I think it would be a little better if the rank-and-file fans were out there, Lee. I do.
Oh, yeah. Steve and I are
way
behind.
What I meant was size of the crowd.
Oh, size?
It was full.
Full. Yeah.
Was it really?
Yeah, the bleachers were full.
Because I was sitting in the bleachers. I didn't think it was that full.
I thought it was full. There were still people coming in a half an hour into practice. Still people coming in. Brian Ford doing his thing.
Doing his shtick.
I thought about Monty Kiffin when practice started.
By the way, that was a hell of a column you wrote.
Yeah, I want to instruct everybody to go read Ira's column at joebucksfan.com. Ira went to Monty Kiffin's memorial in Largo. You just set a great scene there, Ira. It was classy stuff.
That was excellent.
Thanks.
And I did watch the whole Kiffin memorial on YouTube. I found it, and very moving.
You found the video?
Yeah, very interesting. I watched that last night. Next thing I knew, I woke up. It was 3 in the morning. I was on the couch holding a laptop. But it was long, and if you really love Bucks football, it's something you want to watch.
Steve, I think this team's in a good place right now, Lee. Now, here's a pet peeve of mine. I'm going to run it past you two guys. It happens all the time in sports. All the time. People are so in a hurry to, you know, put a story up with a headline on it, and I'll give you an example. Most of the time, they're non-stories. So Todd Bowles, and he gave a nice speech. I'm not knocking Todd Bowles. But he said, our goal is the Super Bowl, and they're all of a sudden, you know, it's on Pro Football Talk with a headline. Bowles says, our goal is to make the Super Bowl. Well, why is that a story, Lee? Why is that a story?
If
you're not going for that, well, why are you in the league? I don't get that.
If it's before training camps open, that's a story. Once training camps open, that's not a story.
Steve, shouldn't that be the thing for 32 teams? I don't understand.
Yeah, I don't really understand. Doesn't every coach say that or imply that at some point?
You know, all of a sudden, it's a headline on a story, Lee. I just don't get it. Just skip over it. There's nothing there.
It's almost as much of a non-story based on the past few years as no bananas and food in the Bucks press box.
Nobody's talking about this team, Lee, again. And to back that up with my assertion that there's no distractions going on, when Gregory gets the most queries about a guy who wasn't going to be a big factor, in my opinion, this season anyway. This is like the good ship lollipop over here at One Buck.
Where was this ship erected?
There's nobody even like a Kirk Cousins coming off a major giant injury.
No,
like,
I talked
Godwin maybe last year. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, Godwin looks hellacious right now.
Yeah, no, look, it's a happy team. I talked to Jason Light. He was, you know, no big traumas this summer. The Randy Gregory thing obviously is not unexpected and not the biggest deal in the world.
Did Light look stressed out over Tristan Wirfs' contract situation?
No, I don't even think it's a situation. He's due $21 million this year, despite these reports that say less. It's $21 million he's due, and he's going to play because who wouldn't play for $21 million? And he's out there with his... After practice, he's holding his babies with his, I don't know if he's married or not, but he's with his child's mom. And
he might be the best player on this team, and he's not going anywhere.
Mike Evans said that today, too, that
yes,
he may be the best player on the Bucks.
Wow. Do they enjoy this, you think? You were just talking about how it's a happy camp, and I know it's only day one. Do you think they're enjoying not having the Klieg legs of the national media?
I think they use it for motivation, you know, and Jason Light's right in there. Nobody's... expects much out of it. Look at the Vegas guys, Lee. You were just in Vegas. Has the line moved on the Bucks 7.5?
Still there, like I think, yeah.
Still there. Which is a slap in the face for a team that might make the playoffs for a fifth straight season. A little bit of a slap in the face. One question I didn't get to ask.
And before you do, Ira, before we close the podcast, I've got a little bit of news, some fun news that Lee and I were able to flush out today, so don't go away. As Lee mentioned, we're here in the Bill Curry Ford Studios, home of the Best in Class podcast. We're in the sacred room where the magic happens.
And we might be back later in the week.
For right? JoeBucksFan.com, draft guru Sean Sullivan. You can listen to his Best in Class podcasts at Apple Podcasts, Joe Bucks Fan. And we thank Florida's Elite Restoration for all their great work that they're doing every single day for homeowners, business owners. Florida'sElite Restoration.com. Get to their website now so you're prepared in a disaster. And get downstairs here at Bill Curry Ford in the showroom. Beautiful stuff. Great inventory, though. You can see it all online. Everybody likes to shop online, Ira. I know you like to sit in a car, feel how it caresses your butt there. But
the seat warmers.
Yeah, all that stuff that you do.
Oh, those butt warmers are fantastic. One thing I want to say, and I know you guys will back me up on this. I said it's a happy camp. The vibes are good. Lee, the guy to me, and even if it wasn't a happy camp, this guy would be the poster child for the enthusiasm that you're looking for. It happens all the time. He can't help himself. Winfield.
Yeah, yeah.
Winfield's unbelievable, Steve. And I know it sounds like a cliche, Lee, but there's a lot of good guys on this team. I didn't say good players. I'm talking about character.
Well, to back you up, your buddy.
And most of these guys are very good players, too. But
to back you up, your buddy Chris Russo the other day was talking about ESPN's top 10 receivers, and they have all kinds of NFL people, roughly 80 people vote in it. And Evans was number 8. And Russo, like, maybe he could be a little higher. But he had not a diatribe.
He likes Mike Evans.
Yeah, he raved about Evans, and he said he needs to be not supported, needs to be given credit. He's not a diva. Now, that's not what Russo said, but Russo, he doesn't make a stink. He says, look at all these top receivers. They changed teams.
He's right.
Not Evans. He goes, Evans has played on some terrible teams, and never once did you hear him demand a trade. Never once did you hear him, you know, hold out or trade me or I'm holding out. He goes, he's stuck with his franchise, and he needs to be given credit for that.
And, you know, the Godwin thing came and went last year, the little, you know, thing that bubbled to the surface.
I don't think it was little at all, Ira. I think it was big. That doesn't happen every year, doesn't happen every decade, where a player's wife freaks out.
On a kid coach.
Is that me?
Sage is going to take a phone call live on the air.
Yes, Todd. Walgreens. My drugs are in.
Yep.
My drugs are in.
All those blue pills. All right.
Oh.
All
right. So, look, Ira, before we get out of here, and we'll be back throughout training camp, of course, and this week. Lee and I talked to Zion McCollum, Ira, and one of the interesting things about him is that he's got a twin brother in the league, you know, a defensive back with the Eagles, and these guys train all summer long against each other. One guy's running routes, doing all kinds
also
of...
Also a DB?
Also a DB. So they're running routes against each other, working on things, working on... They know each other's weaknesses. Twin brothers, you know. You can only imagine. And so they do this over and over, and they grind, and it's an advantage, obviously, for them because they get to train with an NFL player all day. But I asked McCollum, I said, hey, look, do you think if you're running routes every summer, you think you could play some receiver? No hesitation. You know, I certainly could play receiver. It said, nobody at the Bucks, he said, has ever asked him or it's never come up. Now, to me, I'm not saying he's going to be a good receiver.
If you use the word cross train, I'm dropping my microphone.
No, I'm being serious here. I've never, and I'm not talking about cross train. what I'm to the level you're thinking. But my point is that the Bucks know this. Bill Belichick or other types of coaches, they try to squeeze everything out of their team. If you know that McCollum can run routes, and he was the year he was at the combine tested as the greatest athlete at the combine, then you know what? Give the guy a little bit of the offensive playbook to study on his free time for fun. Have a few plays for him just in case you have a few injuries and you're stuck.
Didn't Deion Sanders play a little offense?
Of course.
Not only did he, but remember what Belichick used to do, Troy Brown was both ways at times.
Oh, okay.
You know,
okay.
I mean, if you can give the guy a little package of plays, maybe.
Now they are counting on him to be
of the course,
starting
and you never want to use him. But you know what?
If God forbid there's a bunch of injuries.
God forbid there's a bunch of injuries, and you know what? McCollum can get out there and help. That's the kind of stuff that can help win a playoff game and turns a coach into a genius just because on a bye week they had a little fun with the guy at receiver.
Wait until the coaches at one buck here, Steve, pontificating about using Zion McCollum.
Where's Tom
offense?
Moore? What is going on? Yeah. He's still out there wearing the full sweatsuit, 85 years old.
Unbelievable.
You believe that? And I was talking about retiring. You believe that Tom Moore is out there?
Moore showed up at the Monty Kiffin.
Did he?
He showed up.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, he showed up. He did. So anyway, we'll be back later in the week, right?
We'll be back later. You have a final address for Bucks fans? Now, again, just to recap for everybody, not in pads today, short practice, a whole lot of nothing, but we got to have fun with it.
I'll set Lee up.
Monday is technically, right, as we speak, scheduled to be the first padded practice. Scheduled is the key word.
I'll set Lee up for the finale right here. Uh-oh. Lee, tomorrow, and I checked, so I'm not mistaken on this, open to the regular fans. If they sign up, give a $10 contribution or whatever they have to do. You don't have to be a crew member for tomorrow's Thursday's practice. But, Lee, after that, there's only one more the rest of the way. You okay with that?
Well, like I said earlier on your pod, Ira, they doubled the amount of
you could look
open
at
practice.
It like that. They
so,
doubled it.
You know, it's progress. Would I like to see 10, 12? Sure, but it's progress. So
that's what we try to do here, Steve, progress.